All right. We're going to open up the service with prayer right now. So I was wanting to say thank you for coming to the church. And I pray that we all, when we leave this church, that we will have the peace of God in our hearts. And that when we leave, we can talk to everybody about it. And we know what to say when they need help. So, all right. Jesus, God, I pray that you will bless us, Lord. All the questions we have, God, I pray that you will answer them. God, in this service, I pray that we will have your peace and your grace and your wisdom, Lord. When we leave this church, I pray that you will give us wisdom and we can walk in your word. God, when it's dark, I pray you will give us light so we can guide those to you. Jesus, I pray that you will give us all wisdom. I pray you will bless us, Lord. God, I pray that you will move in this service and throughout this meeting and everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right. And Benjamin will be doing the service today. So, thank you.
I want to start off with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to talk about that. What it means is that when he gives his only begotten Son, is that God gave Jesus down on earth to die for our sins and from what we did that was wrong. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That when you die, you will go to heaven, and that you will, when you're in heaven, you will be there with Jesus. When you have everlasting life, when you're with Jesus, you won't need, school or Bible or a church, because you will know everything in heaven that you needed to know. And when you pray, you will know and you want something to go to heaven, or you miss something, or you won't really notice that you're missing someone. If you knew someone from school and your friend, if they didn't go to heaven, then you won't really remember them, and you won't remember them, and you know that they will be on earth. And
Good morning. Okay. Very good. All right. So we are glad that everybody is here. You did a good job.
Thank you.
And what I'd like to do is have everybody feel free to, all the young people, feel free to come and talk. And share the things. I want to start with a scripture or two, because what we want is to have the mind of the Lord. Because in these next few days, I'd like to see a transformation of all the young people. Mm-hmm. And I know that a few weeks ago, our kids went to, Jeanette and Benjamin went to a volleyball tournament in Kansas City. It was a collegiate volleyball tournament. So the state of Nebraska had reached the place that they were in the playoff for the whole thing. If Nebraska won, then of course they were going to be the champions of collegiate volleyball for women. And our children hadn't followed anything about volleyball. But Aunt Christina had tickets, so she said, well, if you guys want to go, I'll buy tickets. And of course they got to sit in some really great seats and stuff, and I don't know why I wasn't invited, but anyway, so you have to throw a little bit of agony in there. But anyway, they got there, and you guys, there was such excitement about what was going on that they weren't in the sprint center 15 minutes, and they were getting their faces painted, they were buying hats with Nebraska on it, because they've been in and out of the state of Nebraska. Who did they play?
Florida.
Oh, yes, another school. But anyway, so it changed them quickly because you know what was going on? Everybody was excited. Half of the place, no. 90% of the place was red, implying that, small section. They left a few seats for Florida. But the thing is, you guys, excitement comes because somebody's excited. And the girls that were excited got excited way back when they were your age, probably, over volleyball. And they began to play it, and some of them just got better and better, and some of them worked harder and harder, and some of them had friends that did really good, so they really worked double time. They were the ones up at midnight hitting volleyballs up against the wall. But there they were in the playoffs. So excitement is contagious. And what happens with us as Christians is that we miss some of the points about the enthusiasm about what God is. If you're excited about your salvation, then it shows. If you're excited about Jesus, it shows. So, if you have a friend that is very important, you can tell other people, well, I met this person. And so, I know that that's what God does. Benjamin wanted to meet Governor Brownback for his birthday. I kept telling him, he's too busy, sorry, son. So he started in July, and by the 1st of September, he kept telling me the same thing. I said, no, really, what do you want for birthday? Well, I want to meet Governor Brownback. I said, he's a governor of the entire state. He said, well, that's what I want to do, Dad. I said, okay. So I write the governor a letter. I said, dear Governor Brownback, every time I ask my 9-year-old son or 8-year-old son what he wants for his birthday, he tells me that he wants to meet you. And so I kept telling him how busy you are and what your schedule's like. And actually, he just kept saying, that's what I want. So I told him I'd write a letter, and he's here watching me write the letter. That's that little disclaimer that said, you know, I know you're busy, but I can't not write the letter. They called. Said, Governor Brownback, will meet him on his birthday, bring him up to the Capitol building, and we'll take him into our private office. So Rachel and I went up with Benjamin, and it was interesting because he had written a book, and he hand-wrote it, his signature stuff on it while we were there, you know, so nobody thought it was a stamp. Then he gave him some books on Kansas. He gave him all kinds of stuff. He's just pouring stuff out to this kid. I want to say, Governor Brownback, I want to see you on my birthday, too. It's in July. But you guys, the thing is, when Ben went to school, he told the kids at school, I met Governor Brownback. Now, you know what? It depends on what your parents talk about and what their political persuasion is, whether you're excited that he met Governor Brownback. So a lot of the kids were excited because it is important. And I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it's still an honor to have a seated government official like the governor just spend 30 or 40 minutes with you. Just sit and talk and spend the day. But it left him with a sense that he had a friend. And Governor Brownback and his secretary both said, now that you're friends, please come back. Yeah. All you have to do is come back. So you guys, there's a sense of that belonging. Well, that's nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Yeah. So what we want is to have that understanding. And I would like to show a movie for the young people here. And we might do it earlier or something. We'll decide as we go along. I think some of you have seen the movie Lion, where the young kid in India is separated from his mom. And, but you guys, the thing is, that movie is very vexing to me. It is more than I want to watch because it was a true story. And this young kid ends up in Calcutta, I think, or Delhi. I don't remember where he ended up. But he doesn't know how to get back to his home because he wasn't old enough to be able to tell what the town was he lived in. And here's the thing. The impact of the movie is the loss of the most important relationship in his life. Yeah. And I can't think of a better way to describe what happens to your soul. Yeah. Because you're born of the Spirit that knows it has a Father. And the problem is we get separated, sometimes when we're too young, from the Father. But that longing is always inside of us to somehow get back to Him. And religion hasn't done a very good job of that. So I'd like to have the kids come in and watch that, because you're left impacted terribly with the things this kid went through in the years. He was eventually adopted by some people from Australia. But you guys, it still wasn't the mom that he knew. And it wasn't the brother that he adored. So you guys, you can see that that relationship that we miss with God is that kind of importance. And we should feel the vexation that movie creates for you. Because it creates a vexing thought that this kid cannot find his way home. And it shows you what happens to kids in countries where nobody cares about them. And it is too gruesome to show you the real details, but they get you the idea that, whoa, I wouldn't want to be that child. Yeah. And you guys, without God, your whole life is like that. So I want the Spirit of God to show you what I'm talking about this relationship with God. That Jesus really is that relationship that inside of you, you long for. And you can fill it up with busy things. You can go to bed at night and not sleep very well, because something inside you feels loaded up and fearful. And God's that answer. He's that place where He brings that sense of belonging to us. And so I want to invite all of you, because I want all of you guys to come and, like Ben did, read your scriptures and talk about your scriptures. Because it's important for us to understand that there's a place in relationship with God. So, I'm not trying to show a movie to bypass the things I'd like to do with the kids, but I want every young person in this place to be as impacted as I was watching that movie. Because you can't see a child separated from his mom and his brother and wish he could get back and not feel that agony, because he got adopted by nice people.
Yeah.
But you guys, what is a nice person in Australia going to do for you when your mom lives in India?
Yeah.
And you know that she didn't know what happened to you.
Because
he went to work with his brother one morning. He actually forced him to take him, his older brother, one night, not morning. Yeah. But you guys, when the brother went back, he couldn't find him. So that's what happens to our soul. Our soul has to connect with the real God. Yeah. And that's why, you guys, religion is worldwide. There's Christianity in lots of the world. Everywhere I've ever been, there are Christian churches. But there are Hindus. Billions of people are Hindu and Muslim and every kind of religion. So to think that something inside of you doesn't long for a God, that's a misunderstanding. Because how could you have religion everywhere if something inside of you wasn't reaching out and saying, I need to touch God. There's a real God somewhere and I want a relationship with Him. And so that's what you and I want. We want the Spirit of God to remind us that that's what's going on inside you. That's what's going on inside me. That longing for the relationship that satisfies. Nothing else will satisfy. Now, if you are good with instruments, you're invited to come and play. If you play the kazoo, come play the kazoo. It's hard to sing playing the kazoo, but we'll do it. And if you play the mandolin, bring your mandolin. If you play the guitar, bring your guitar. If you play the piano, bring your piano. I guess you got what's going on here. So, you're welcome to come and sing. Because normally we'll start the 4 o'clock service with singing. So I want you guys to pick out some songs you would like. And we're going to get some young people to play them. That'll be great. I want you to go with me to the book of James. And this is the great thing about your Bible. Is because it's the rule book. And the thing I love about a rule book is that nobody can change the rules on you when you've got the book. Okay? So, anybody here doesn't have a Bible with them? Because we can fix that. We can remedy that. Is there anybody here that don't have highlighting markers that you can highlight things in your Bible? We can remedy that. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a little notebook to write in and an ink pen? We can remedy that. You have nothing that you lack that we can't fix. Okay? So maybe we should look and see. Because I've got some Bibles on my stairway. We could put names in those Bibles. If you don't have a highlighter, you might look in. Anybody else need a Bible? Going once. going 4 or 5 times. Need a Bible. Okay, that's good. Luna, how are you doing? Doing great, huh? Prefiero español. Yo hablo en español. Okay. All right. So we went to James. Almost at the end of your Bible. You get to the end of your Bible, you should find a book called Revelation. That book's about the revelation of Jesus. But if you're there, you want to go back towards the front, just a couple of pages, okay? And I want to read in James chapter 4. Now, these are great verses. And it seems like it's awfully important for us to hone in on what God says. Because you know what? He knows us very well. And He knows how to talk to children. Jesus loved kids. The disciples tried to keep the people away with their children because the mothers kept bringing their babies to Jesus and their children to Jesus because they knew He was a healer. And you guys, when people know that that kind of power exists in somebody, they want their child near them because somehow they feel like someday their child could get sick. And if they just had met Jesus, if they just touched Jesus, then Jesus might remember them. They had no idea that not only might He remember them, but He knows them very well. Knows them very well. So, what we want is to have the Spirit of the Lord touch the things that we're reading and bring it to our understanding. I want to go to verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. It's the last verse of the fourth chapter. Okay. And you can highlight this verse because I'm going to quiz you on it every single day. And you're going to be so proud of yourself because you remember where it's at. All right. And we're going to think about what's being said here because that's the great thing about having information that's very, very important. Yeah? Okay. This is what it says. And who would like to read it for me? You would? Are you with Carmen? Are you? All right. You can read it. I know. Would you like your sister to read it? Okay. Someone else want to read this? Some other child. James chapter 4, verse 17. Jeanette Rune.
Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and knoweth it not, to him it is good.
Okay. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So here's what's great about our Christian walk. There's an age of accountability where as we grow up, God doesn't lay sin to us because after all, we're children and we don't know much, yeah? Even our law doesn't hold us accountable like it does adults. You hear about people getting in trouble and they say they're going to try them as an adult. And they may be 17 years old, but they've committed a crime that is so grievous that it should be tried under adult laws because when you try them as a juvenile, the law is very soft. That's because everybody understands that children make mistakes.
Yeah.
And everybody understands that children do dumb things. I don't understand that, but everybody but me understands that. So children do things that they regret right away.
Yeah.
And we've all had a moment that we did something that we really regretted. I had several.
Yeah.
So it takes the Spirit and presence of God to bring us into a place that we pay attention to this. And here's what I want you to know. The Bible said that we're sanctified. Rachel and Beth were talking about the verse where it says that a believing parent sanctifies a child. And what he said was, if you have one parent that is a believer, a Christian, Paul said, if your child should die before they accepted Christ as their Savior, they would go to heaven because their mom or their dad is a Christian, a believing Christian. So Paul also said that if you were married to somebody before you met Christ and they're not a believer, and they don't come on into Christ when you do, that unbelieving person is sanctified by the relationship. That's interesting, isn't it? That God accepts who you love as bona fide acceptance in the kingdom of God. And what he knows is you spend long enough with somebody who loves God, and you're going to fall in love with God yourself. You may be resistant for a long time, but the more you see what God does and the more you feel his presence in your home, the more it is that it moves on you to make a decision that's like that. And that's what we want, is to have God do those things in us. But here's what this verse says. Therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. So here's what's interesting. If you go to school and kids are talking particular words, and you pick those words up, but you know you can't say them from your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa.
Yeah?
Yeah? What does that tell you? Yeah, you know it's not good. The litmus test is, would I go home and do it, say this to my mom and dad? So this is what God says. When do you reach that age that God holds you accountable and says it's sin? As soon as you pretend you didn't. As soon as you seek to deceive about something. When you do that, you admit, I know what's good. I know what's good. And you guys, that's the great thing about what God is. So what he says here is, if you know to do good, and it's to do good, that means if people around you are doing bad things, they're talking mean to somebody on the playground. There was a girl that I went to school with, and I wasn't in her class, but my friend Ron Weller was, and everybody was making fun of her, and they had her crying.
Yeah.
And my friend Ron Weller was a very good-looking young man. He got really ugly as he got older, but... Well, he's not here to say anything different. But he's a very good-looking young man. And you know what he did in front of everybody? While she was crying, he just went over and put his arm around her, and then he kissed her on the cheek.
Yeah.
Then everybody said he had something wrong with him.
Yeah.
And he didn't care.
Yeah.
He didn't care. Talk your stupid stuff. I'm all right. But you guys, here's the thing. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? The talking negatively about children, that's not a good thing to do. And if you know the difference between whether you should do it or not, it comes from inside of you, and that's what God wants us to see. So if you look up and there's your mother on the edge of the playground and you're playing with kids and you're being too rough and you're creating turmoil, you realize, oops, I better stop because my mom will notice what I'm doing. That's the thing that says, oh, I knew to do good, but I didn't do it. And God said, okay. So that would be sin. So what I want to start this with is I want to start every single day with this same verse because I want each of us to judge ourselves because I can pretend I'm the best Christian on the earth. And when I go to church, it's a great thing. We learn all kinds of stuff that us Christians should do. But we're not always good at doing it around the clock. So what we want is to start this out because before this is over with you young people, I want every person in here to decide on your own, would you give your life to Jesus Christ? Would you personally say, I've sinned? Because you said, if I knew to do something good and I didn't, it would be sin to me. So I am a sinner. Now what I want is I don't want to leave this place a sinner. I came in and I thought, yeah, I'm just a baby Christian. I'm just a young Christian. My mom and dad are taking care of the sanctification. All I have to do is kind of squeeze through this place in life. And after all, it's way more fun in 6th grade or 7th grade or 8th grade to live like the world.
Yeah.
Except if you know what is good and you join in things that are wrong, then it becomes sin, doesn't it? And so you have to decide on your own, is my merits to do sin? And I say, nah, I don't want to do sin. And I certainly don't want to mock God. What I want is to give him a chance to give me a chance. Because he already died on the cross, yeah? So, we're here to do business. And what I want is to have each of the young people decide. I'm not gonna tell you to decide. That'd be me deciding about your relationship with God. But I want you to decide. And if you feel like that you have done this very thing. You've known that you should have done something different and you didn't. Then you committed sin. Then the Bible describes that as old enough to know better. If I'm old enough to know better, and that's the great thing about going to church, is because there's a whole bunch of stuff we learn about that we realize what we shouldn't do. So, this is where we're beginning. And so what I want is to have some music, and I think that we have some talent here that could go ahead and play some music tonight. Us adults can provide some music for you. And then tomorrow night, the young people are going to do the singing. Or is somebody prepared to do the music tonight? And don't be shy. You're prepared to do the music. Okay, what you gonna play, buddy? Play your voice. Okay, so we'll get some backup musicians for you. So who else would like to join Josh in singing? Ben Wood, Cyrus Wood. No, we need some women. Emma, are you ready to sing? Is he? All right, there you go. So see, this is already looking better. And who else is ready to sing? Emily, we need some female voices. We need some backup. Some of you young men that sing bass or baritone, come on. So, and we can pick some songs that you guys know. You'd like to sing with us, would you not? Okay, then you're welcome to sing. Come on, this is a good idea. So, if we don't have microphones for everybody. Yeah, if you don't have a microphone, then you can share. That would be, I knew we'd get to the right word. Charlie, are you going to sing? Uh-huh. All right. Okay. So, you guys, here's the precious thing about what God's doing, is that if I start out and I recognize, well, I thought I was okay in doing what I was doing, and now God said I've sinned. And the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, can I explain what he means by the glory of God? Because if I sin, how does that come short of His glory? Because is He implying that I shouldn't sin? Yeah. And you know what? He is a potter. And He intends to mold us. And if we'll let Him mold us, His glory is He'll make us different. That's His glory. He will make us different. And you guys, I've seen a whole lot of people that are adults in church and they're still trying to make themselves different. But if you acknowledge that He's the potter and you're going to let Him make you different, then He makes you different. And what a loving relationship that is. Because He doesn't come and tell you don't do this and don't do that. He starts out by conveying His love to you. And when you love somebody, all the do's and don'ts go really easy. So we're in that very wonderful place where we are accepting Him and allowing Him to mold us and to challenge us and to bring us into prayer. Okay. So, musicians, would you like to come and help? If you play an instrument, come on up. So, and is there anybody here that's prepared to testify? Ben wanted to talk some scriptures first so that everybody felt comfortable. Does everybody feel comfortable? Yes. We certainly feel comfortable. So, if you have something that you would like to share, if you would like to sing, you're welcome to come up and sing. I want this to work just smooth for everybody. So if your sister came up, you better come up. If your brother came up, you better come up. All right. And if you know some Christian songs that you would like to sing and we don't sing it, then you might as well come up. Ethan, come on up. All right. Got your instruments? I see that. Miss Zoe, how are you doing?
Look at your bow. It matches your shoes. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. That's great. Super deal. Okay, I'm going to get my guitar on.
Thank you before this too.
Yeah, you can.
I'm not.
I'm a your artist.
Yeah, my mom's saying you have to go to the store. Half the time it doesn't work, so.
Can you put them back?
you and
for holding.
I don't even know what we're saying, and I might not know the words.
Yeah.
So I might just might hang out with stuff.
Hello?
Inside your light, you become a light.
Yeah.
And the light shines through you. You want to come sing? Are those ladies holding you back? Come on. You love music? Good. Come on. You can come up here. Yeah, you can come up here. We just wanted you to be old enough to walk, and you seem to be doing that. So this little light of mine says that you personally are a light. Yeah?
That's right.
Light.
That's right.
See? Light. Yes. So good. Okay. So now Charlie's here. This little light of mine. That's what we're going to sing, okay?
Got it, Charlie.
This isn't a good key. We can sing it in a different key. Yeah? Okay.
Get
yeah.
We are the champions.
Or you can play the big one. That's right. So I found out there's a whole lot of people playing the tambourine.
Yeah, I don't know how to play.
And All right. All right. Thank you. Young John, love me. Watch. Amazing. I thought you were airborne. Yeah, she got the boots. But I'm looking for her. Great thing about what Ben was talking about, God so loved the world, is a reason we call it good news, gospel. Yeah? Because he loved the world. When you love somebody, you take care of them. And in fact, they're the first person you think of when something's going on that you need to gather up and protect or even flee. So, when you're in a circumstance that you need help, that's what God is. He is that kind of help. When I was in high school or junior high, some high school kids had come down to the school I was at, and they were going to thrash me royally. And I came out of the classroom, and I came out at the end of this building, and there's my bus. And normally it parked second in line, and you know how consistent buses are, right? Because you can't trust junior high children to read the number on the bus. You have to have that bus parked right where they know that it's going to be. I come out. There's the number. I just walked across, started to step on the bus, and I see these guys running. And I knew why they were running. It was me. But they couldn't get on the bus. So when I got home, my mom said, Sister Huff called. That's the pastor's wife. So she said, she wants you to call her back. I said, all right. So I called her back. She said, Ronnie, this afternoon about 2:30, she said, I came under this tremendous burden for you. And she said, I couldn't do anything else but pray. And she said, I wanted to talk to you because I don't know what's happening with you. I said, well, it didn't. Thank you for praying. The reality of God said, we can take care of this thing. And he told her, you go pray. So that's what we want, you guys. We want the Spirit of God to minister us like that. I was fishing at a little lake over here called Lake Henry. They dump trout in it at this particular time of year, and I had my grandson with me, and he wanted to go fishing, and we just had been fishing a few minutes when that same burden fell on me. And I stopped, and I wrestled a little bit because, you know, when you want to go fishing, you want to go fishing, you want to go fishing, and now you got fish jumping and fish biting and people pulling them in. You don't want your grandpa to say, I think we need to go home and pray. But I was so burdened I couldn't stay where I was at. And my nephew was shot with a shotgun, and it tore out part of his hip, and the shotgun actually shot him twice. A double barrel shotgun shot him twice. And he was living in a little house in a small town called McCook, Nebraska. That's a big town. But anyway. But he needed to have someone come through his front door in a matter of a couple of minutes because he was bleeding to death. Yeah. And he'd had a fight with his girlfriend, and she had left him that morning and was going back to Colorado. She worked at the Buckle. And she had taken all of her stuff with her, but she felt compelled to go back one more time to tell him goodbye. And when she came through the front door, which was locked, because she still had her key, he said, don't come in here. Don't come in here. And, of course, she called 911, and the ambulance was right there. They used all of the blood and plasma that was in McCook. The state patrol met him at North Platte, Nebraska. They brought all the blood and plasma they could get at North Platte, Nebraska. They were taking him to Kearney, and along the way, the state patrol would meet them with more blood. He would not have lived. He would not have lived longer. But God told me, you go home and pray. And you know, I didn't know I was praying for him, but I couldn't stay where I was. I knew something tragic was happening. I knew something that would take me away from whatever I was doing. It would take my attention. And that's what God does. He's a miracle working God. And that's what you want. It's what I want in my life. I had a friend that I went to church with growing up. And when I left, he stayed going to church a little while. And then he quit serving God. And he went out into the world. And many of you have heard my testimony before. His name was Jerry Sword. And Jerry was with some friends, and he got shot. One of his friends, the gun didn't have a clip in it. Someone else had put the clip in and cocked it, put a shell in the chamber. Then someone else said, quit playing with a loaded gun. They took the clip out, but they didn't take the shell out of the chamber. Other guys gathered. There was four or five of them now in the bedroom, and they were ready to go. When they turned to leave, one of the young men picked the gun up, and when Jerry came through the bedroom door, he turned around and said, you're dead, Jerry. Boom, he pulled the trigger. Now, that night before, Jerry had a dream. And he was in this big black auditorium, and far into the auditorium was a little tiny light in a door. This is a dream from God. And he wound his way to that door where there was light. That's why I like these songs, This Little Light of Mine. Yeah. I'm going to let it shine. That's why I like There's a Light in the Window. Because the church is really more than just a place to get together. It is a light. Yeah. In the middle of the darkness, it's safety. And God knows how to get us through those things. And Jerry wound his way over there to that open door. And when he got there, he said, what is this place? And a voice inside this room said, don't you know, Jerry?
Yeah.
It's the end of the world. And within a few hours, he was laying on a gurney at Denver General Hospital. And a man not far from him had been stabbed several times. Now, this is in the afternoon in a major metropolitan area. And the guy is crying out, I need help now, I need help now, and he died.
Yeah.
So my friend Jerry is 20 years old, and he's come to the reality of why you would need Jesus, because for a long time he wouldn't even have breakfast with his mom and dad. His mom told me the dream. And the reason she knew the dream is because Jerry got up that morning so upset by that dream, he didn't know that his world was about to come to an end. He was just going to go out with his friends on an ordinary day and do what ordinary people do, like him. What they were doing with a gun, I don't even want to know. But he wasn't serving God. And he's with people who needed a gun. And I can tell you, it isn't a good idea to live that kind of lifestyle. But Jerry laid 9 months in intensive care. They couldn't stop the bleeding inside of him. 9 months. And you guys, they moved him from Denver General Hospital to a hospital called Rose Memorial. The summer before this, Jerry had a job at Rose Memorial. There's lots of hospitals in Denver. But the summer before this, Jerry had worked at Rose Memorial. And his job was, if somebody died in an operation, they would take their bodies downstairs to the morgue and they would put them in refrigerated units waiting for a coroner to come. His job proved to him that people die in surgery. He didn't believe at 20 years old he was invincible anymore. And he didn't believe that hospitals fixed everything anymore. And now he's at the very hospital and he can't get better. And he lost weight and lost weight. And the Lord spoke to me and said, find Jerry Sword. I lost contact with him. So I called all around. I called all around. And I finally talked to somebody. And they said, I've got his mom's number. I called her. She said, Brother Isaac, you called just at the right time. Jerry is desperately discouraged and tormented. And he's scheduled for more surgeries. He's at General Rose Memorial Hospital. I'll give you the number the name and room number. So I went up there to see him. And you guys, he was glad to see me. He couldn't talk because he'd had a tracheotomy performed. And so he could whisper, but he couldn't talk. So we had this encounter, he and I. This old friend that went to church with me. He traveled and chose the world, and I traveled choosing Jesus, even in school. And by 20 years old, I pastored a church.
Yeah.
And now we meet together, this friend and I, and he is dying because the road he traveled was a dangerous road. The road he traveled had Satan for a master. And Jesus warned us that Satan came for three things: to try and kill you, try and destroy you, or steal from you. That's what he does. And so my friend Jerry thought that that was a myth. And him and his worldly friends could just have good time after good time. If they needed money, they could get money. They could live on drugs and happy times. And now he's laying in a hospital dying, yeah? And so he said, I want you to pray that I won't die. He was getting ready for a surgery. He said, I want you to pray that I won't die. Now, I'm 20 years old, and I don't want him to die. Yeah. And actually, I was younger than that. But anyway, but I didn't want him to die. And you guys, but it fell to me because nobody else, I mean, his mom and dad were praying for him, but they weren't resonating with him. And he wanted them to stay kind of in the background. I don't know why, because at a point like that, I'd want everybody I know who prays praying.
Right.
And so he wanted me to pray for him that he wouldn't die, and I did. And he didn't die. God raised him up. But you guys, you know, here's the thing. I know that it's imperative to pick a road that you want to travel. And the relationships of our lives dictate how we live. If you're married, you typically work a job because you are renting a house or buying a house. And you buy groceries because you have to feed the person you married. Yes, if you're a guy. And if you're a woman, you have to cook dinner. So that's kind of feeding the guy when he gets home, yeah? So relationships kind of pick how we live our lives. If you marry somebody that is from the island of Trinidad, and they keep telling you, you and I got to go to Trinidad, we're going to move to Trinidad, I miss my folks, and I want to go to Trinidad, you can pretty much figure your plan is going to include. Anybody else got a different guess? Don't want to lose you on this. Yeah, the island of Trinidad. So then you have to decide what you're going to do with this choice that someone else made, am I right? Because when you love somebody, you're going to find out that they make choices. And if you really love them, you're going to make the same choices they do. Because it matters to belong to somebody who loves you. So that's what our relationship with God is. It really is a relationship. And we get to choose Him. He already chose us. He chose you before the world was ever formed. But He chose you for a relationship. Not as somebody who went and got membership of church. He chose you as someone that He loved dearly with all of His heart. And then He said, I'm going to write out adoption papers for every person on the earth. That's what Ben read. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because our sins have to be judged, yeah? And we read over here in James that we've sinned. God said all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So what we want is to acknowledge we've sinned. So how to get out of this place? Because the Bible says the wages of sin, the payday for sin, is death. So I want to get rid of my sins. And how do I do that? Live better tomorrow? No. I have to have somebody who paid for my sins. And that's what Jesus did. So He came and He got between you and your punishment. So the punishment was death. And He stepped between you and that punishment. He stepped between me and the punishment I was due. And He died in your place. And He died in my place. So, your adoption papers have this written on it. Debt paid and cleared, signed by the blood of Jesus. Yeah?
Right.
So, He loved you enough to buy you and to adopt you and then to give you His nature. Most people cannot give an adopted child their nature. They wish they could.
Yeah.
But they can't. Except God can. He gives you His nature and you are different for the rest of your life. But you have to decide that you would surrender to that place that sin isn't what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because to have a relationship with Him, it's sort of like having an idea that your life is still your own. And your life's not your own. You're going to live a life differently as you have relationships. Even if you have just close friends, your life changes some because of the relationships that you deal with your friends. So, all right. How about questions? We have just about 10 minutes left. And we can go over some questions. We can talk about salvation, and we can pray. So, if you have a question, it's a good idea. You can ask it right now. Otherwise, we're all going to stand up and join hands with the people around us, and we're going to pray for one another. Because you know what we want? We want every one of us to come to that place in our own heart, whether or not we would want to repent of our sins. Whether or not we'd want that full relationship with Christ. You might as well do it today, because you're going to gain ground. If you do it tomorrow, and you could have done it today, you'd be one day older than God. And if your friends don't decide until tomorrow, you're one day older than them. You beat them to the punch. So, and by the time we get to the last day, I want you guys to come into this place so excited that you want J on one cheek and a hat that has a J on the top. And of course, I want you that excited because we're on the winning team. And you're either on the winning team or you're on the losing team. So, and you can, on the last day, I want you to declare for us, I am on the losing team. If you feel like you just can't join the Christians, then that's fine. But you have to admit, hey, I'm on the losing team. Or you can say, actually, I've joined the winning team. And so I want everybody here to decide to be on the winning team. See how this enthusiasm begins to bubble over already. I'm feeling it. All right. Yeah, yeah. We can do the wave. Exactly. That's right. We could do the wave. Okay. So Sunday school teachers have that Sunday school enthusiasm. Where? Down in their heart. Down in the heart. So we can sing that sometime. All right. So what we might as well do, while we're embarrassing all the adults, is go ahead and just pray. That's fine. That's right. So, all right. Is there anybody that you have a question about what I'm saying about salvation? Because you're willing to ask, I would be willing to talk about it. If you're satisfied that you understand it, then I'm satisfied that we're going to understand this thing. But what we are going to do is pray for one another. So let's all stand up. Take somebody by the hand. In fact, I want you to at least have two people by the hand. Two different people by the hand. Okay. So, come on, you guys. Come on. We got this thing made in the shade. So this is, the great thing about this, you guys, is this is the beginning of enthusiasm that you understand that you're on the winning team. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you can't lose. That's just the way it is. Before then, you're lost. And so tomorrow, and how long is that long movie, Lion? It's a long movie. It seems like it's forever. But we'll, maybe we should allow 3 hours for it and do it before the young people's thing, yes? So, do I get to appoint somebody to start the service tomorrow night with a scripture reading and a sense of wanting to deliver a word? Yes. Jeanette, you're ready tomorrow night? Okay, so Jeanette's going to start out with the word. So, what I'd like to do is start the movie earlier, if you feel troubled by the movie, and I think all of us would. I want you to understand that longing to belong is the thing I want to impress on everybody. You actually need to belong to Jesus. Deep down inside, you know that. But we're entertained by all kinds of things in the world. So, and of course, there are people that say there is no God. There's people that think religion is too much. But you guys, you and I know, you're either on one side or the other. And I want you all to decide for yourself. Everybody gets to decide for yourself. We're not going to make you decide anything. So, all right. So we're going to pray one for another. Jesus, I pray for these people, Lord, on my right and on my left. And I praise you for what you do. Lord, you're the answer and the solution. And God, I pray that as we begin today, Lord, you'd knock on every heart. God, these young kids, they know about you. Lord, I am persuaded that as much as they know about you, they still do things that they wouldn't want their parents to see, wouldn't want their mom to see, wouldn't want their dad to see. And God, what I know is that because they understand that, they've entered into that place that they admit that they know what sin is. And God, I want our children in this place. I want the children that traveled here to have that sense of friendship with you. God, I want every young person that comes to be touched by this one conclusion. I want to spend eternity in peace. I don't want my mind tormented forever. I don't want to go to hell. And I know that the only way to heaven is through your blood. I can't be good enough to get to heaven, but I can come to you for adoption. I can come to you and confess that I'm a sinner, and without your blood I would be guilty. And I thank you for your blood, and we can all do that. And I want every young person in this place to do that before this meeting is over. God, I want every one of them to become serious about eternity, because God, I have done funerals for 12-year-olds. I've done funerals for 3-day-old babies. God, I've done funerals for 80-year-old people. And God, it never feels like a person's life is long enough. But God, when you do, and I've done several teenagers' funerals, God, and when you do funerals for somebody that is still young and all their life is in front of them, God, you're reminded how short life can be. And God, I don't want any of these young people to stay on the wrong side where they become under the dominion of Satan, tormented and afflicted, trying to live life the best they can, making decisions that are all just decisions. God, I want them to be on the winning side where your mind becomes their counselor, where your words become their direction. God, we pray it in your name. And Jesus, I pray that nobody in this place would leave the same way they came. And I'm just asking you, you do in us what only your Spirit can do. God, I pray it in your righteous name. You do this. Bless the word that each of these young people bring. I thank you for Ben and the things that he was willing to say tonight to start this off with scriptures of salvation, some of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible, and to share with us the sense of being able to deal with the reality of eternity. God, I just pray that every young person here would feel that. And God, I pray that you would guide us and direct us through this time, Lord, that we would turn our heart toward you as never before. Bless the music, bless the word, bless the fellowship divine. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, what I'd like to do is have all of the young people get together and hug on each other. Just one big hug. You don't have to linger with the hug, but hug each other, shake hands, say, I'm glad you're here. So come on, I want everybody, come on, all the young people, come on. All the young people. There it is. And don't just hug your friends. Don't just hug your friends, hug everybody. Hug everybody, come on. This is good. Come on. And go say hi to everybody. There it is. You can do this. All right. This is so good. All right. Keep doing it. Don't give up yet. Circulate through the place. Go see somebody you don't know. If you see somebody here you don't know, go shake their hand. Tell them, I'll hug you tomorrow. Introduce yourself. Talk to everybody. Come on. Is there anybody here you do not know? I see a young lady over here. I don't think everybody knows her. I think you should go shake her hand. If you see somebody that you do not know, please shake their hand. Tell them hi. I'm glad you're here. I want every person to shake everybody's hand. Tell everybody your name. Tell everybody your name. Come on. Yep, give everybody your name. The music playing was good, my man. This is our ukulele player right here. Bring your instruments tomorrow night. All right. Did everybody introduce themselves to Luna? Did you? Cyrus? You tell her, my name is Cyrus. I'm glad to meet you. I'm glad you're here at church. You probably think I'm in fifth grade. But I'm very handsome. Okay. All right. All right. Okay, so everybody introduced themselves to everybody, right? Are there any strangers in the place? No strangers. Huh? There's young men over here. Go shake their hands. They celebrate, yeah, the University of Oklahoma, the Crimson Tide, wherever they're from. Alabama. Okay. This is great. Come on. No strangers in the place. No strangers in the place. Pick some songs. Yeah, this is great. So we're mixing and mingling. How many know what mixing and mingling is? Yes. We're meeting new people. We're meeting and greeting. It's a meet and greet. And you guys, Hannah Rowe was not here tonight. because Hannah's not feeling good. So we're going to pray for Hannah. And Levi's still sick. So we're going to pray for Levi. We're going to pray for Hannah. So we want these little tykes well because they are part of the machinery that keeps this place running, yes? Okay. Oh, Haley likes thank you. I'll bet you sing it, don't you, Haley? That's great. She said you can't pay attention to him, he'll have you on the platform singing. I know, in Colorado. All right. So, now the great thing about having this evening meeting is that we're going to have something to eat after the meetings as we go along. So, if you want Mexican, then you have to put in for it a day in advance, okay? If you want Italian, you have to put in for it a day in advance. If you would like just vegetables, you have to put in for it a week in advance. So, all right. Let's pray for Miss Hannah. Come on, you guys. Thank you, Jesus. So an hour and a half went by awfully fast. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed myself. So we want to pray for Hannah, and we want to pray for Alex. No, Levi. Okay, Alex was, of course, playing his little heart out. So, all right. Lord, we come before your throne, and we are thankful for your love and your mercy. And God, we pray that you would bless these young people with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. God, I want them to leave here enthused about their personal love relationship with you. And I pray, God, that they would illuminate their space wherever they live, wherever their room is in the house. God, that space would become illuminated by your love and mercy. And God, I pray that you'd keep them all the days of their life, that they would grow in the nurturing and admonition of you. And Jesus, that as parents, we would all facilitate it every way we can. As part of the church, we would facilitate it. God, we pray for every parent to be surrendered totally to you in this transformation you're doing in the church today. God, we pray it in your righteous name. God, Hannah needs a touch, and you're the God who touches. Lord, as only you can do it, we pray that your spirit would touch these children. Levi needs a touch. God, he needs to be able to be here tomorrow. These kids would be blessed to be here. And Lord, we just thank you for them. And we pray, God, that you would bless them with what you are doing in our lives. God, we pray it in your righteous name, that they won't be behind not one bit. God, we pray it in your holy name. Amen and amen. All right. Hi. Oh, that's why Bobby wasn't here. Okay. Yeah, we'll pray for Bobby. Anybody else not here because they were sick that we know of? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dami babies. And what? And Shepherd had pink eyes. Oh, yeah, they could use a touch. Yeah. All right, yeah, that goes around fast. All right. So then we'll pray for the Dami babies. And we're going to pray for Bobby. Okay, that's easy. That's easy to do. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you. And everybody in this place prays together to you. Lord, we're in agreement that you hear our prayers. God, nobody here is too young that you wouldn't hear their prayer. God, nobody here is excluded. Jesus, we are all family. And God, we thank you for the blessings that's brought us together at a moment like this. God, we pray for Bobby. Lord, touch him. Lord, you're a God who does great things. And we pray that your spirit and presence would finish in Bobby what you started before the foundations of the world. God, that you would bring him to that fullness of all that you want him to have. God, we pray that you'd do the same with Heidi. God, that's the precious thing about relationship with you. God, we don't trade our relationship with you. We are brought together with those who love you. So we travel in that relationship. And God, we thank you, Jesus, for watching over the Dami babies. God, I know that Kimmy and Jacob love you. God, I know these parents are adoring you. Now, God, we pray that these children be touched. Break this pink eye. God, it's so infectious. God, it's such a miserable thing in a little tyke. God, rain. Whatever's going on with her, touch her. Lord, you're a miracle God, and she's a miracle baby. And Lord, we thank you for Melanie. And Jesus, we thank you for Shepherd. Lord, you're just that kind of God. And Lord, we thank you for what you did in their lives as only your Spirit can do it. God, we give you praise and glory forever and ever. God, I thank you for Jerry's sword and the testimony. As difficult as it is, Jesus, you're a God who wins the lost. You're the God who stays with the person's soul when people pray. God, we thank you for all the people we pray for. Jesus, we thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of the people in this church and those who are making decisions, God, that have been here. Lord, all the way back into the 1980s, Jesus, I thank you for every soul touched. Bring forth your word and your strength in them. God, renew them in everything as only your Spirit can do. We ask it in your righteous name, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, that sounds great. So you can stay, you can go. You're welcome to stay and pray. Everybody's welcome. And we want to do this a lot during this time because prayer is a really precious thing to learn, and it's a very useful way to honestly communicate with God. So we want that where we utilize it. All right, you guys, Lord bless you. And we will see you in about an hour.